Thanksgiving Day, I gained a couple of pounds. Feel very uncomfortable with my regular Sunday clothing. Thank you so much for Pastor Perry. I asked him yesterday, because I think it's related to our text, how we work together, I mean, congregation and pastors. And I know that I noticed that he was losing his voice today, but thank you for his heart. And I think that is great. And thank you so much for showing your love and prayer to us and Pastor Perry. And that's very encouraging. I think that is also related to our text. It was not my plan, I guess. Also, Alan mentioned about Sunday school today. We picked the same text from Philippians chapter 1. That was not my plan, not Alan's plan. I guess that's, I'm sure, that God's plan. Today, we will be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Before reading the passage, it is found in the your Pew Bible, 1246. If you like to open the Pew Bibles, that will be great. Before we read the Bible, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and grace. Thank you so much for your word that we are reading and meditating and reflecting and learning about you and yourself and your love. Thank you so much for bringing us here today so that we will be in your mercy and grace and experience your presence with us. As we are looking at the book of Philippians, would you please continue to bless us, bless our congregation, and also bless me. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Word of God. I'm confused because I have so many notes. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, and servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearned for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that you, or love, may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve that is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the Word of God. Life is a matter of building something. Each of us has many opportunities or the opportunity to build a secure family, and including Christian family like our church, or good reputation, a good career, or relationship with people, and even relationship with God and Christ. Now, within many types of relationships that we can imagine, our relationship with God in Christ will be the most, and it will last forever. The relationship that we build in Christ as God's people will last forever. The relationship that God has established with us in Christ will last forever. No doubt. We know that. So from our text today, we see that Paul and his Philippian Christians had such a relationship, a good and strong relationship in Christ. Now Paul begins his letter in verse 5, says, because of your partnership, he's showing that we are related. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And in verse 7, same thing. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense of the confirmation of the gospel. So we know that they are related to each other. Their relationships are very strong. Relationship between in Paul and the Philippian church. In other verses, Paul expresses his special love and care, even relationship with the Philippian Christians. In verse 3, he says, very interesting, always in every prayer. Verse 4, prayer with joy. When he thought about the Philippian Christians, prayer with joy. Verse 5, partnership in the gospel. Verse 7, I hold you in my heart. Verse 8, how I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Even verse 9, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Now, from these verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, we clearly see that Paul and the Philippian Christians had a very strong and special relationship each other in Christ. They worked together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not real brothers and sisters, but they became brothers and sisters in Christ, and they worked together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That thrills me. Somehow we should ask ourselves this question. Is our relationship here at New Hope Church, is our relationship like Paul and the Philippian Christians, each other, even pastors and elders and deacons, always in prayer, prayer with joy, partnership in the gospel, and so on? As we already studied last week, Paul's mission and his plan was great. Paul's plan was to cover the region of Asia. But the Spirit of Jesus Christ changed or interrupted his plan. So we can say that God changed something. But Paul and his missionaries, companions, they went to the west, which is the Philippi. Companions means Timothy and Silas. Then we know the story that Paul met a Gentile businesswoman, Lydia. A demon-possessed girl. And a jailer. Now, amazing thing is this. With this strange people, little awkward combination, God established the first Christian church in European history. That is awesome. That's how the Philippian church was born. Everything was not an accident, but God's plan. Now, we see that the relationship between Paul and the Philippian Christians in Christ was not an accident. It was God's plan. Paul started his letter in verse 3 with many thanksgiving to God because of God's plan. And he say, because of the special relationship with Christians in Philippi in Christ, he says in verse 6, and I am sure of this. He knows something. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we will be looking at this verse later, but I have to mention that the relationship between Paul and the Philippian Christians was started not by Paul or someone else, but by God. Paul is saying that, I am sure he who began a good work in Christ. I believe that the same thing is true for you and me and for all of us. None of us came here today, New Hope Christian, from church because we want to build a relationship with our brothers and sisters here, but it's God's call and God's plan. Now, Paul, he wrote the letter to the Philippians while he was in prison in Rome. It was believed that Paul was imprisoned in Rome for at least 2 or 3 years based on the book of Acts 28 verse 16. It says, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. And then Acts 28:30 also describes for two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who come to see him. From these verses, we know that Paul was not imprisoned in a regular jail, like we know, but he was imprisoned in his own rented house. He was also allowed to see lots of visitors. Now, while he was imprisoned in his rented house, a man named Epaphroditus visited to Paul, that he came from Philippian church. According to Paul's letter, we believe that this guy, Epaphroditus, was one of leaders in the Philippian church. Now, he was sent to Rome to find out and what happened to Paul and to visit Paul, and to deliver also gifts from the Philippian church. And then Paul mentioned that chapter 4 and verse 18. That's an interesting story, actually, we think about that. Traveling from Philippi to Rome was not an easy trip. It's a long trip. That helps us to think about their relationship. It'll be a little more than 800 miles. It's like a distance from New York to Chicago. The visiting of Epaphroditus was a little surprise for Paul because it was not an easy for him to travel this long distance. Epaphroditus didn't just visit him. He also brought a generous gift for Paul's ministry and also up-to-date news of the Philippian Christians, a church, what happened. So here Paul wants to say thank you, and he wants to praise God and what happened to them and everything. At the same time, he wanted to deal with some concerns and maybe problems and difficulties in the church. That's why he wrote this letter. Now, interestingly, it was not the first time Paul received a gift from the Philippian Christians. Paul mentioned a couple of times, chapter 4 and verse 16, even the Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. One time Paul mentioned that Philippian church is the only church supporting and praying and looking for him. That's very interesting. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9, and when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. He's talking about the Philippian Christians. So from all these verses, we see that their relationship was very strong between Paul and the Philippian Christians, very special. The Philippian Christians, including Lydia or her family, the jailer and his family, and many other women and members of the Philippian church, they all together had a very special and strong relationship with Paul in Christ. Not for their own benefits, but for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul called and said that you are my partner in Christ. Verse 5 and 7. I believe that this is the ideal relationship with us we have to build up. What an ideal relationship between missionaries or pastors or workers of the church and other churches. What a wonderful relationship that we have to build up in Christ. Then maybe we can ask this question. Do we have this type of relationship with our missionaries, our pastors, our leaders of our church? Can we say, really, can we say, maybe you can say to me, James, you can go during the vacation Bible school, knock on the door, bring more kids. Yes, I can do it. But can we say that, James, you are my partner in Christ? Can I say that? You are all my partners in Christ. Interestingly, Paul says in chapter 4 and verse 1, he said that, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. As pastors, can we say that, dear New Hope Church, congregation members, you are my joy, my crown. Paul clearly says that the Philippian Christians were his joy and crown. I believe that we have to build this type of relationship here at New Hope. Maybe we think that Paul was happy and grateful because he received many support and financial support from the Philippian Christians, but let's think about their situation. Were the Philippian Christians rich? They lived in a famous city of Philippi, a business city. So Lydia was a successful businesswoman. So we think that, oh, they are good. They have lots of things to share. We might think that the Philippian Christians were rich people. And that's why they had faithfully supported Paul many times and tried looking for him. When Paul was gone, they sent dispatch to somebody else, go find him and support him, support his ministry. That's not the case. Based on 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. In verse 2, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. They were not rich, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. Beyond their means of their own accord, verse 4, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They're helping other Christians. In verse 5, and this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. Aha! That's why. They're not just looking at Paul and other Christians, helping them because they have lots of things and a lot of money in their pocket. No, not that way. They were poor people and lots of troubles after troubles, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. Because of that heart, they helped Paul. Paul uses some strong words here to describe their situations. Verse 2, in severe affliction, extreme poverty. But some good things comes out here beyond their means. Paul also explains their hearts for Christ here, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Abundance of joy, generosity on their part, in verse 2. And verse 4, for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Verse 5, they gave themselves first to the Lord. From Paul's words, we see that the Philippian Christians were generally not rich people. But mostly, poor people that don't have money to share. The Philippine Christians that supported Paul and his ministry, even other Christians, not because they were rich, but because of Christ. They were able to share things after things after things beyond their means, not because they were having lots of things, a lot of money, but because of their relationship with Christ, which is an unbreakable relationship. That's why in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, that doesn't make sense. A severe test of affliction, it's kind of, oh no, why God, you gave me this kind of horrible time. And but they say abundance of joy, overflowed. The source of their abundance joy was not something but in Christ. Their relationship with Christ was enough reason for them, because they have Christ in their lives. That's why they actively participate in Paul's missionary work. It was not a matter of money. It was not a matter of something. It was not a matter of many years of relationship like with Paul because they know Paul well. No, but it was all about their relationship with Christ. Nothing else, but Christ was the reason for them to do everything for the kingdom of God, even Paul and his ministry, regardless of their situations. That brings us a question for all of us. How about us? How about the 21st century, the modern Christians? Maybe our situations look like the Philippine Christians, severe affliction, extreme poverty. We don't have money. Then do we really have abundance of joy in Christ regardless of our situations? How about this question? Do we really give ourselves first to the Lord regardless of our situations? Surely the Philippine Christians and their strong relationship in Christ challenges us, pushes us to think about our relationship with Christ and our relationship with our brothers and sisters, even our relationship with missionaries that we are supporting, even our relationship each other as pastors and congress members. What is the first? Our relationship with Christ or something else? Paul was a Jew. We know that the Philippine Christians were mostly Gentiles. Strictly speaking, there was no reason to be related to one another. However, Paul expresses his special heart for them. In verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. These two verses are very strong. In these short verses, Paul emphasizes his special heart and relationship with the Philippine Christians. Now listen, he uses the same word in Greek and to express his heart for them. Verse 3, all my remembrance. And verse 4, in every, but same word in Greek. In every prayer. Verse 4 again, for you all, making my prayer with joy. Just keep emphasizing all and every. Basically, Paul says, I always remember, every day remember you and pray for you. Paul could not forget them. He always remembered them, their names, their situations. Paul knew that how they became to know Christ. So he always prayed for them. While I was writing this passage here, I thought about Pastor Perry. That's why I try to get him here today. I don't think that he just forgot about you and just sitting in his couch and doing nothing. I don't think so. Paul didn't just say, hey, I love you. You're very special to me. But he actually did something. He prayed for them. Paul uses the word prayer twice in verse 4. Always in every prayer. And my prayer with joy. From his words, we see how much Paul's love and his care for the Philippian Christians was authentic and powerful and true. He prayed for them. And verse 5 again, because of your partnership in the gospel, not because of something else, but because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, Jesus Christ was the reason for Paul. He knew that because of the Jesus Christ, he knew that he remembered all the people in the Philippi. He prayed for him, faithfully prayed for them. So we see in some kind of very strong, we don't see actual line, but we see a very strong spiritual line between Paul and the Christians in the Philippi connected in Christ together. They were strongly tied together in Christ. The same thing, Paul's words bring us lots of challenges today. We know we need to pray for one another. But do we? We know that prayer is one of the channels that we can build a strong church in Christ. But do we? Paul's confession should be ours nowadays. Don't just say, I will pray for you. But actually, we have to pray for one another. We always remember one another, their names, and we always pray for them. I was sitting at the corner of my regular seat and listening to Pastor Perry's prayer, and that was interesting. He named after name after name. I think that is something that Paul was trying to do here. Always remember your name and everything, your situation. Pray. That's the relationship we have to build up for the kingdom of God. We know that Reformed theology emphasizes on God's sovereignty. Now, sovereignty means rule. And we believe that God rules over His creation with absolute power and authority. Now here Paul says, Ephesians chapter 1 and 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Now basically we say, there's nothing is an accident. Everything is God's plan. God is controlling. Everything is in God's absolute and complete control. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and 11. God is the one who started everything from the creation. He is the one. He will finish His work. Although Epaphroditus brought some financial support to Paul, he also brought some concerns and troubles and thoughts from the Philippian Christian church. Now Paul said to Philippian Christian church, with his confidence in Christ, in verse 6 says that, don't worry about that. Okay, I know that you are supporting me. I know that you are struggling, some troubles in your church. Now, verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful verse. Simply saying, God began the work in the church. Not something else and somebody else. God started. Therefore, nothing to be worried. But only one thing we have to rejoice in the Lord, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. Although the Philippian Christians became the partners of Paul's ministry and lots of things are sharing together, it was not them. They decided, okay, we have a lot of money, we can help Paul. No, not their intention, their heart. But God initiated that heart too. That's why they helped Paul, although they didn't have money to share. God worked in their hearts. That's what Paul is saying in verse 6. Paul is not only talking about their partnership and support, but good work means more than that. A good work means God's grace through the death and resurrection of Christ already happened in the lives of the Philippian Christians. God is the one who started the gospel. He has a special relationship with the Gentiles. Therefore, Paul is saying, God will accomplish, finish the work of salvation when Christ comes. So verse 6 can be a difficult passage for us because people understand differently. Even Alan talked about from our text. But at least one thing is sure for all of us. Paul's confidence was not based on his experience or knowledge, but based on his faith in Christ. So therefore, it is a logical conclusion that since the sovereign God started everything, then he will continually do his work, the good work in the church of God. Then he will surely finish the work in Christ, not Paul, not Timothy or somebody else, not Lydia or not the jailer or other people, but God started the good work in Christ and he will surely finish his work. Now this passage, verse 6, Paul's confession also gives us a humbling moment before God. Because God is the one who did the good work in us. Because God is the one who brought salvation from Jesus Christ, salvation to us. Therefore, we don't have anything to boast in. Wow, we are great. Nothing to boast. It's a humbling moment. Verse 6 also comforts us. Since God has started our relationship with Christ, he will surely not abandon us. In our Sunday school, Ellen mentioned that through our difficulties, God will want us like a growing in faith. He will not abandon us, but expecting us to grow in faith. There's nothing to worry about it, because everything is in God's complete control. Verse 6 also gives us encouragement. Since God is the one who calls us to be the partners of the gospel, he will surely use us and will surely give us our needs. He will surely bless our church. He will be with us until we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the end of the earth. That is encouraging. That is actually encouraging for me. It's not me to go out, knock on the door. I'm so scared of that. I found a story. Emperor Frederick II, who ruled the Holy Roman Empire in the 13th century, he wanted to know what man's original language was, Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. So he ordered a cruel experiment. He decided to isolate a few infants from the sound of the human voice. There is no relationship between the adult and infants. He reasoned that they would eventually speak the natural tongue of man by doing that. So nurses who were sworn to absolute silence were obtained, and though it was difficult for them, they abided by the rule. The infants never heard a word, not a sound from a human voice. Within several months, they were all dead, because there was no relationship they could build. Because of Christ and our relationship with Him, we work together. We worship together. We serve together. We love one another. Because of Christ, our relationship with Him, we become the partners of the gospel with many missionaries that we support, many people that we know, and the pastors and the other people who do the work of Jesus Christ, such as Jeremy and Krista, and Christian Reformed Church World Mission, and Caritas, or IDEM, and many other organizations. Because of Christ and our relationship with Him, we are building a strong faith community here at here in Spokane, New Hope Christian Reformed Church. Because of Christ, our relationship with Him, God will surely finish His good work at the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for teaching us about our relationship with You in Christ that we have found in Paul's confession and his teaching. Lord, would You please encourage us that we will practice that relationship here at New Hope Church. We love one another. We serve one another. We support one another. We pray for our brothers and sisters because we have Christ in our hearts. We have a relationship with You. And help us to think about this passage and help us to actually practice Your teaching this week and the rest of our lives. We pray Your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.